Man, compared to last episode, this episode, and I got some theories about why that is. But yeah, I don't want to get too much into the weeds of it, but I just want to focus on, if you're watching X-Men 97, and you just watched episodes 5, like, I can't remember anything that Marvel/Disney has put out with that sort of emotional impact. Can you?
I mean, it's few and far between. There's probably the finale of Loki.
Mm-hmm.
And some of, what is it, Endgame?
Mm-hmm.
Or the, yeah, and, what was it before Endgame?
Endgame, maybe. I can't, anything before Endgame, I can't think of it.
No, no, what were those two movies? The two?
Infinity War.
Infinity War.
Yeah, Infinity War. They ended up Infinity War and Endgame.
Yep.
I would say that. And that's it. Like, this is
pretty much.
It's absolutely incredible. So I'll just give a real quick synopsis. If anybody's listening to this and hasn't watched the episode for some weird reason,
Episode 5, Remember It, of X-Men 97.
So this episode has a ton going on, and it's really almost to the point where it's almost overwhelming. X-Men are being interviewed by a woman named Tisha Tyler, I think her name is. And interesting enough, in the comics, I think her and Beast actually have a relationship. They actually date, I think.
Interesting.
So that was a cool thing. They're being interviewed. Magneto, Gambit, and Rogue are going to Genosha, because the UN has made it its own country, and it's a mutant
country. They're recognizing it as a member state of the UN. Yeah.
So that's really important. Mm-hmm. Val Cooper is there when they arrive. And Val Cooper is from the comics. I don't think I've mentioned that. Val Cooper's from the comics, and she spent time in the comic X Factor for a while, written by Peter David.
She's not the same as the Val that's in the...
No, different person. And also who's there is Madeline Pryor, which we didn't think we'd see so soon, but all of a sudden she's like the clone of Jean Grey, is now a prominent member of the Genosha High Council or whatever, and has other mutants there working too, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And Magneto meets with the council, and the council has Banshee in it, Meyer McTaggart, who is a human in
this. That was show, interesting. But, yeah.
Yeah, but we know, I've talked to you about this, Mar McTaggart is not a human. She's a mutant. But I don't know if she's a mutant.
In the Fox movies, she was a human, too.
Yeah, but the thing is, in canon, she kept that a secret. She always told people she was a mutant. She was a human. Yeah, let people know that she was a mutant. But her mutant power is weird, because her mutant power only activates when she dies. So her mutant power is reincarnation. So it doesn't really...
So she can respawn, basically.
Yeah, but here's the deal. That might come up later, which is really important. Mm-hmm. But I'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Also in the council is Shaw, who is part of the Hellfire Club. The White Queen.
Sebastian Shaw,
yep. The White Queen. And so it looks like this is very interesting. And I'm trying to figure out what the writers and producers are trying to do with the show. And
these are members of the Hellfire Club.
Yes, but also in the comics currently.
Did they reference Hellfire in this episode at all? I don't.
No, they didn't.
That they did. Okay, yeah.
In the last few years in the comics, these members have been called the Quiet Council, and they've ruled Kalkar. It's hard to pronounce. Kalkarok. Cow, whatever. So
is that Genosha? Is it the same thing?
I'm going to try to explain this to everybody, especially you. Right. In the comics, Magneto did rule Genosha.
Okay.
But there was an event on Genosha that was a massacre where a lot of mutants died. I don't know the whole details. I don't think it was Sentinels. I think something else happened. And then that country kind of went to kaput. Okay. Then Magneto and Professor X founded a new island called Krakow. Krakow. I'm going to say it like that.
Okay.
And that island is actually alive. And it's apparently it's a mutant island. I'm not sure how it works. But they use the powers of the island to create a complete mutant state. So Genosha was like the first trial run. And then the second island, Krakow, was the real island. And a lot of what we saw in this episode in X-Men 97 was very familiar to the things we saw in House of X. And so we're getting a lot of House of X vibes here, which is super interesting. And why I like it is because these are really good storylines. And people who read the comics currently are loving this because of that. And the people who never read the comics are really getting some great storytelling elements. So it's really cool. But that's not the only thing. And so we got a bunch of different... We get Rogue and Magneto and Gambit are walking around the island. And you get a ton of cameo appearances. So I saw on your list the translucent little pink man that you saw was named Blob. He's from the everybody you saw was from the comics. So first of all, everybody was from the comics. There's actually a link I put in the show notes that has a far deeper sort of like behind the scenes Easter eggs that I've to put together. So
it's awesome.
If you want to see all the Easter eggs and all the cool stuff, that link's really good. Be very careful because it's going to do some speculation stuff, so just ignore that. Nightcrawler was there, and Nightcrawler is on the Quiet Council in the comics, so it was great to see him.
Nightcrawler, really cool. One of my favorite X-Men characters. I didn't remember him having a German accent in the original cartoon, so I went back and watched one episode, and he does, actually. It's not as thick in the original as it is in this episode.
Yeah, it's pretty thick in this episode.
But he does have a German accent. I just never, I guess I never picked up on that as a kid. Or when I was younger.
So meanwhile, while Rogue, Gambit, and Magneto are on Genosha, we go back to, New York, where the X-Men are. And apparently, Jean Grey kind of, like, made out with Wolverine for a second.
Yeah.
Which was a little, And like I want the key word in the first half of this episode.
Props to Wolverine for like kind of shutting that down pretty quick.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's true. But it was just drama. It was so much drama, and I didn't mind it too much because it was interesting drama and it was comic accurate drama. But there was a lot of drama.
I didn't totally get what was going on with Scott and Jean and Madeline.
So what was happening?
Very confusing.
Scott was just kind of daydreaming, and he was hanging out in his mind with Madeline Pryor.
And she's daydreaming at the council, hanging out with him.
Yeah, so they're sharing a psychic rapport, but that psychic rapport was supposed to be a connection between him and the original Jean Grey. So he basically kind of cheated on Jean Grey. And what's really interesting is like he did the
exact same thing. It's been going on for about a month.
Yeah, he did the exact same thing with Emma Frost, the White Queen, in the comic books.
Oh. So
they're taking every cool thing you could think of from the comics and slamming it in here in different ways, which is really interesting. And the X-Men have a lot to slam in there, trust me. So there's a lot they can pull from. And if the writers are pulling on this level, if the writers are doing this level of work right now, I can't imagine what they'll do later.
Hmm.
So, of course, that gets everybody upset. Jean Grey and Madeline Pryor have some kind of weird psychic energy thing, but we don't know what that is. And I might have some speculation about that, so we'll get to that.
That spike in their forehead.
That symbolizes some kind of psychic thing going on. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Meanwhile, Magneto asked Rogue to be his partner, so like his queen.
Yeah, his queen.
At Genosha.
Yeah.
She kind of breaks up with Gambit. But then she kind of breaks up with Magneto, too. She decides not to be his queen, but she does kiss him. And we understand that she can touch Magneto because of his powers, which is interesting.
Well, I think what happened was, her and Gambit were having that conversation. And he tells her, he's like, some things are deeper than skin, referencing their relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, she can't touch him. You know, it's a big deal. And so she goes with Magneto, who she can. And also she gets to help out all the mutants, which she wants to do. But I think she realizes after, you know, having that dance and kissing Magneto that even though she can touch him, her love for Gambit is deeper and more than just surface level. So that's why she breaks up with Magneto.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to two of the voice actors here. And if you can, real quick, if you can give me the names, it'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. The voice actor for Rogue and the voice actor for Magneto.
Rogue is Lenore Zahn.
Excellent job.
Magneto is Matthew Watterson.
They both did excellent jobs with this. I felt every time they talked, I mean, Gambit was fine, but Rogue and Magneto definitely was really, really good. Then we get a cameo of Cable. He shows up and Madeline realizes
that's that right after we realize that not only has Jean Grey had that spike in her forehead, but also Madeline Pryor.
Yeah, and shout out to the Ryers for not getting rid of Madeline Pryor too soon. Thanks for bringing her back, using her for drama, using her for make the story more interesting. Mm-hmm. Giving Madeline Pryor some more work is really great because she doesn't get that much work in the comics. And to bring her into this episode like this is really good and really smart on their part. Cable shows up, and then Madeline Pryor realizes that Cable is her son from the future.
Yeah.
And so we get Cable, which is awesome. And he's trying to warn them or something, but it's too late.
And yeah, he says he's coming. Who do you think he's talking about?
Well, that's the question. I don't know. Because I think he was trying to predict the attack. But I have a feeling it's someone else. And I'm going to save that for after we talk about the attack.
Okay.
So we get a Sentinel attack.
He doesn't last long. He slips back into his own time.
We get a Sentinel attack. And the Sentinel that you saw, the big massive Sentinel, mm-hmm. looks just like the one from the comics. And it's a storyline by Grant Morrison called E is for Extinction. I remember looking at that and thinking I've seen that before. And it's in the comics.
It's like the three-headed Sentinel?
It's actually kind of cool. Let me kind of go into more detail about this. The three-headed Sentinel originally appeared in a comic a long, long time ago in the A's called Acts of Vengeance. And it was a storyline where the villains were trading superhero adversaries. So, for example, Magneto became an enemy for Captain America, I think. It was a kind of a thing. I think the Kingpin set up, I forget who. But all the villains switched their adversaries. And so if you're a Spider-Man villain, you suddenly started to attack like Captain America and stuff like that. It was pretty cool. But at the end of it, there was a being created by a robot created by Loki called the Tri-Sentinel. And it was basically a Sentinel, three Sentinels put into one. And that's sort of like what you saw in this episode, but a lot dangerous, more dangerous. Hmm. And E for Extinction, that same Sentinel appeared. So it looks just like that. So again, these writers are reading the comic books, which is really cool. And let's just talk about the veracity and violence of that scene. That was really, really violent. We saw dead mutants all over the place. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Some getting blood. Vaporized by beams, and yeah.
It was crazy. Like, that was... this show is not for kids. This is not. Like, so don't show it mm-hmm, to your kids. Mm-hmm. This is for 30 and 40-year-olds who watch the comics. I mean, watch the cartoon back in the day, and you're watching it now. And, like, this is great. It's fantastic. I didn't expect this level of action. I thought it was going to be a very quiet episode until we saw this action, and it was just amazing. I see in your show notes that you're asking about who Callisto is.
Yeah.
So Callisto is the leader of the Morlocks, and that's who Gambit ends up saving. Remember, Magneto said that they were trapped, and then one of the guys said that they don't care about Morlocks, but then Gambit shows up to save them.
Right.
I've talked about the Morlocks before. Morlocks are mutants that live underground because they have disabilities and stuff, so they don't look too human. I think we saw Callisto die in this episode, actually. So I think she might be dead.
What's she look like?
She had a kind of black hair, but she had an eye patch over her eye.
Okay, yeah. I do think that she dies, actually. Yeah.
We just got a crazy...
Leech was like, saying, you know, either Callisto or Magneto will save us. So,
yeah. And, like, there was a great fight with Magneto and the huge Sentinel, but the Sentinel, this monster Sentinel, this major Sentinel, I call it a massive Sentinel, it's just, it was too big for anybody to stop. And, like, I like the fact that they could, see, here's the deal. We could be seeing mutants, like little like villain, mutant villains attacking the X-Men and the other mutants, but that's not what we're seeing. And
X-Men 97, it's humans only, controlling Sentinels. Yeah.
Yes. The only thing we've seen in X-Men 97, besides Mr. Sinister, is just Sentinels and humans. Right. So it's really cool to see that because that's how it looks in the comics as well. The fight takes a turn. Magneto takes this thing head on. It looks like Magneto might be dead. We don't know for sure because we don't see a body. But we do, like, Rogue tries to go after the big Sentinel, but then Gambit sort of knocks her out the way. Mm-hmm. And then Gambit goes after it, and the big Sentinel stabs him in the side.
Yeah.
And then Gambit infuses the big Sentinel with all his energy and
right.
explodes.
Right.
But Gambit is definitely dead. And yeah, that last scene,
I do not like that. He is one of my favorite X-Men.
Well, listen to me.
There's got to be a way of bringing him back.
Well, hang on. Well, when Rogue at the end says, "I can't feel you," and she's touching him without her glove on, you can't help having him. You have to have an emotional reaction.
Mm-hmm.
The whole episode was building up to that, and it was really, really well done. I mean, this feels like a mid season finale. Like a season finale, we all understand that. But some shows like Arrow and a few others have mid-season finales where it's like, okay, this is the middle of the season. Mm. After this, we're going to show reruns until the next season starts in spring.
Oh.
The season starts in fall. We have a bunch of episodes. We have a mid-season finale. And then somewhere in January or February, the show starts back up again, and then it goes on to April. Mm. And so this isn't going to happen to here, but they definitely are using a mid-season, like this is episode 5, is a 10-episode season.
Right.
This is definitely a good way to kind of bring things up into a big bang and then go back down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to ask me if Gambit's going to come back, my answer is maybe, and here's why.
Okay.
Cable is an enemy of Apocalypse. So when he said he's coming, I have a feeling that Apocalypse is going to show up.
Okay.
And Apocalypse has used Gambit as well.
Apocalypse is the villain that was in one of the movies, right? He's like
the movie called X-Men Apocalypse. Yeah, the movie called X-Men Apocalypse. Yeah, it was named after him. Yeah, the one you didn't watch.
No, I watched it. It was good. It's good. I just keep getting him confused with like all these, like the planet-eating villain.
Galactus,
there you go.
Well, I'm not going to do that. Okay, all right.
I mean, they're both villains that I don't have much of a reference for.
Like most villains.
Right.
Here's the deal. If Galactus shows up and resuscitates Yeah, if Apocalypse shows up. Okay,
you said Galactus.
If Apocalypse shows up and brings Gambit back to life, that would be cool. Mike, I don't know if this show will bring him back. I don't know. I'm just gonna say that right now. You can hope.
Yeah.
But in comics, you never know. In comics, people come back to life all the time. I think Gambit's gonna die a couple times. All the X-Men have died multiple times. Scott's died multiple times. Jean Grey's died a zillion times.
Is there a way Moira MacTaggert can respawn Gambit?
Well, here's the deal. This is what could happen. Everything could get really bad. Moira MacTaggert could die, but then she is resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
She comes back, and then the timeline starts over. But that's really esoteric. And I don't think this show can pull the weight of explaining Moira MacTaggert's mutant ability. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would take a lot of work. So I don't think they're going to do that. But they could, and I wouldn't put it past them.
Hmm.
Here's what I would say, Mike.
Yeah.
Hope that Gambit will come back, but it won't be time soon, and it's going to take a while. So I think they got to show his death respect. I mean, he did sacrifice his life, But yeah. also, he is a fan favorite, and they're not going to ignore that fans have loved Gambit.
Right.
So, this is a comic book show. We've seen characters die left and right all the time. I mm-hmm. understand you're a little stressed. Just relax. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But there's a couple Easter eggs I want to mention. And this is one. Did you see The Watcher?
Yeah, The Watcher, yep.
Mm-hmm. You saw? I didn't see him.
This he shows up right before the fireworks go off.
Like, what they're doing...
Not sure why he's there.
Well, they're making connections, Mike, and we're going to talk about this in a second.
Mm-hmm.
They're making connections. They're saying, hey, you've seen What If. You understand multiple universes. You're watching X-Men 97.
Right.
You understand that this is a multiple universe. Mm-hmm. Let's start thinking about other things you understand. And it's a really interesting way of storytelling. Bring in things you recognize to help make connections to things you see for upcoming things. If The Watcher is looking like that, then you should start expecting to see a lot of cool things from other stuff. And I'm leading up to this, and I'm kind of going into news you can use territory, which is fine, because they released a trailer just recently that's saying, hey, you know, the X-Men 97 is great. Say again?
The name of the trailer is War.
Yeah. And it shows at the very end, it shows the Captain American shield is being slammed into the ground.
Right.
So,
and there's somebody that looks like Howard Stark or Tony Stark earlier now, in the trailer. Do you know who that was?
No. I have to watch it again.
Okay.
Do I watch it right now? It's a key question. It's short, so I'll just push it.
Yes.
I did hit it.
And then while you're doing that, so you don't have any idea who's controlling these Sentinels?
Trask, we already talked to him. Oh, this guy here, the guy with the mustache.
Yeah.
He's not Tony Stark or anything. I think that's Trask or one of the other guys, I forget his name.
Okay. Who's Trask?
He was in the first episode. Remember? First episode. He created the Sentinels.
Oh,
this is interesting, Mike. In the trailer, it's showing Wolverine and Nightcrawler standing together in a battle. So you're going to see Nightcrawler some more.
Yeah,
it shows a couple other mutants too. I'm really curious who throws the shield.
Doesn't show Leech in there?
Yeah, I think it's here. But here's the deal, Mike. We don't know how they're going to bring in the Avengers, but okay, let's just establish this right now.
Yeah, so we got this new trailer. Captain America's shield shows up in it in an X-Men cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's establish this right now.
Mm-hmm.
This show is a success. Can we all agree?
Yeah, for sure.
And if
oh, by the way, the guy that was let go or left Disney right before this came out, he had a cameo in this episode.
He did?
Yeah, he shows up near the end, I think right before Rogue and Gambit go on their final strike.
What had a cameo? Was he in cartoon form?
He's in cartoon form. Yeah, him and somebody else, I think, are in
there. That's so narcissistic. Anyway, we know that this is a success. And so if I was Disney and Marvel, here's what I would do. I would start thinking about, you know, it'd be a lot cheaper to do an Avengers cartoon. Just saying, it's cheap. Mm-hmm. And if we can make it on this level, why the hell not?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
going to be they're holding back on this, right? They could do a even better quality animation than this.
I think that the animation style they're using works for them. And I think it's fine. I mean, quality, the better the animation looks, the more expensive it's going
That's true, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't, that's not holding back.
I think the animation is pretty good. I mean, top tier anime quality, but it's pretty good.
The animation for the show is not what's pulling you in. It's the story. It's the writing. 100% right. Mm-hmm. The writing. So as long as the writing holds this level of quality, this is a really good show. This is a really good
mm-hmm.
Disney property. And like, they couldn't have made an X-Men show or X-Men movie to do this. They couldn't have done it.
There's lots of people now saying they shouldn't do a live action X-Men.
No, I agree. I agree.
You agree?
If they do a live action X-Men, it won't even come close to this. They've already spoiled it.
Well, I mean, you can say the same thing for everything they've done so far.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole MCU could have been done better as animated movies.
Yeah, that's true, but here's
but there's something about live action that if you do it well, it resonates with people more than cartoons.
Here's what I'm going to say. We've had a ton of X-Men movies. Let's give animated X-Men some time to
cook. Oh yeah, sure.
And like I will be fine if we don't get an X. And I think this is from Disney's standpoint.
Yeah.
They don't need an X-Men movie for the next 5 years, maybe longer. Mm-hmm. They don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need it, Mike. You don't.
Well, let's say this. Unless it's already in development, they can't put an X-Men movie out in 5 years.
It's not going to
take longer than that.
It's not even close to development. Not even close.
Yeah.
So like you'll be fine. Like this
because they've got so much stuff in front of it already.
Yeah, and this is the X-Men I want anyway. Like I want this X-Men. I don't need a movie. Like I don't need it. Like yeah. I have what I want.
Uh-huh.
You know, right. They're doing the right thing bringing Fantastic Four into the movie realm because if Fantastic Four doesn't have anything going on, they have to build that franchise from the ground up. But this X-Men 97,
why not do that as an animated show?
I don't think anybody would watch it.
Why not?
Why? Why would you?
There was one. I watched it.
Yeah, a billion years ago. And plus, nobody remembers it. Like, they're taking the X-Men anime series that we loved from the 90s, bringing it back. But now the X-Men from the 90s is gone. That's history. Nobody cares. X-Men 97 is king. And they're going to build on this. Yeah,
right, right.
And they're going to make X-Men 98, X-Men 99.
Yeah, I really wonder what they're going to call the next season. Is it going to be 98? Call it
X-Men 98. X-Men 99.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like the idea. I'm just wondering if they're going to actually do that.
That would be the stupidest thing in the world for them not to do that. That's just a dumb thing to do. And they already said they got three seasons. They should go ahead and make season four. Just go ahead and green light it. Like, yeah, right. Whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
Like, this episode.
Yeah, it's impressive. Like, this fantastic. Season already has season, or this show already has season three greenlit. And season one isn't even over yet.
They're not dumb. They have something that's working. They did the same. Like whenever something's working, they know what to do. Like Loki, they booked season two, right? They knew exactly.
Right.
They say, "Oh, this is good. Keep it going." Right?
Yeah.
They know, and the same thing with this. They know. But I'm just worried that I'm not really worried about them keeping this level of quality up. I think eventually they'll stop just because it's a good idea not to drag things into the ground.
Yeah.
So give it four. Probably it will probably get four seasons. I think X-Men 2000 will probably be the last one they'll do.
I think 2000. If they don't do any time skipping, like if they don't skip years, I think 2001 would be a cool number to end on.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. But as an end note here, this is the bar for Disney, like. Whatever they do next, they're going to have to figure out how to make sure the quality of writing and production and just storytelling is on this caliber. I don't know if they're up for it, but I'm impressed by what I'm seeing. It's good stuff right now. It's really good.
What do you think is up with the journalist calling Jean Grey Marvel Girl?
That's her name, and if
we never ever hear that name, like why?
Well, back in the day, her name was Marvel Girl when she originally appeared, when she was really in the original five X-Men.
Yeah.
So it's just like her code name back in the day that kind of just given her a little bit of love.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why the journalist calls her that and nobody else in the show is calling her that.
You know, I'm more wondering why Angel isn't given more love in this episode. We saw him three or four times in this episode, but he never goes and talks. Angel.
I didn't see.
He's a guy with wings flying around.
I didn't see him.
Right, he was there. Okay. I kind of wish they would have given him some a little
I guess more Translucent Pink Man was drawing my eye too much.
Yeah, that's fair. What else? I could praise this all day, but it's really no need to.
Do you know who I think is controlling the Sentinels?
Sure.
Magneto.
No.
You don't think so?
No, absolutely.
You don't think this is his turn? You think he's really trying to do what Xavier wanted him to do?
I think that when he comes back, when he's shown to be alive next episode, he's going to extract vengeance. So don't you worry about that.
Okay.
Absolutely, dude.
I kind of think this is his setup to like show, we tried to work with the humans.
No.
And this is what they do to us.
That would be a disaster it would betray the people watching this show.
Yeah.
Because the people watching this show think that the show is respecting what they've done in the comics. And he doesn't do that in the comics, nor would he.
He doesn't? Mm-mm. Seems like the kind of thing he would do.
The X-Men from the movies would? The X-Men from the comics.
Okay, so I only know Magneto from the movies, really. So
yeah, the X-Men from the comic books, he's a different character. And he's being treated very well in this animated series.
Okay. You brought up Trask. Now, he's the one that we see in the war trailer. And he says, while you X-Men were holding hands, we were setting up dominoes.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, I guess he's the one that's behind the Sentinels.
Yeah, it's a good line. Yeah. It's pretty good done. The writing here is excellent. They did a really good job.
Yeah.
So my only disappointment is that they built Genosha up just to destroy it. But I'm curious how they're going to use Genosha moving forward. It's not completely destroyed.
Yeah, it's not
destroyed. It's pretty rough. And I can't wait to see how Scott and the rest of
I mean, it was really concentrated in, like, one area. If you look at the footage from the journalist at the end of the episode, there's, like, the whole island, and then there's this big built-up area, and then on the built-up area, there's, like, destruction on maybe half of that. I don't know.
I will say this, and then we'll wrap up and get to some news you can abuse.
Okay.
This is, like, if you're watching this, like, this is how we would probably treat mutants if they actually existed. And this is consistent with the comics, and it's heartbreaking. This is because those kids, everybody there was having such a great time.
Right.
They were free, and they were just enjoying themselves, and all of a sudden they were just completely attacked. And I was surprised that the show was going to go so hard, but I was pleasantly surprised. So, like, next episode is going to be going back to Storm, probably. Which is
fun. Yeah, Life Death 2 is next episode.
That's good, but the kind of weak stuff that we saw with Mojo and stuff in episode 4, we don't need that anymore. Like, stop.
Right.
Okay, right. Stop. We're done. Like, we tried that little thing, and it's not good. Let's go back to the adults.
Okay. Yeah.
News you can't abuse. I already talked about the X-Men, the Avengers and X-Men 97. I don't want to get into too much speculation because I'm sure a bunch of people are already going to be speculating about how they're going to show up and everything else.
Is it Captain America or Captain Britain?
It's Captain America because Captain Britain has a shield, but
it has the stars and stripes on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're going to see the Avengers, we're not going to see them until the 9th or 10th episode. And I think it would be they show up on the 9th episode and then we get some kind of crazy reveal or cliffhanger. My listeners, you should prepare yourself for a season ending cliffhanger that you're going to have to wait for. So just prepare yourself. So it's going to be painful. It's going to be the Borg showing up in Star Trek painful. Okay. And Borg Picard level painful. And I'm sure, Mike, you don't know what I'm talking about, but everybody else does. So it's fine.
I remember Borg showing up.
Do you remember when Picard became a Borg?
Yeah, Locutus of the Borg.
Yeah, it's going to be that level cliffhanger, Mike.
Yeah.
That level. Well, you're going to have to wait until for 3 months to watch it, which doesn't seem that long now that I think about it. When I was a kid, it took forever. I feel like it was about...
I mean, it's going to be longer than 3 months. It's going to be like...
it's going to be like a year.
A year, yeah.
It's going to be a long cliffhanger.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, News You Can't Abuse. Robert Downey Jr. says he'd play Iron Man. More like Robert Downey Jr. said he'll get a paycheck and they'll give it to him. This is news, I guess. Mike, you care about this more than I do. You want to see Robert Downey Jr. back as Iron Man.
Do I?
You go. You deal with this one. You have the floor.
I mean, I feel like maybe this article's a little bit late because all of the talk about Disney and Marvel needing to bring back Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man and Chris Evans as Captain America seems like it's gone away. Like, that's no longer being talked about. It was being talked about a month or so ago, but it doesn't seem like anybody's talking about it anymore, so it seems a little bit late. Maybe he's going to come back for Secret Wars. I really don't know what Secret Wars is or why he would be able to come back for that, but that seems to be, like, what people are talking about.
If he's saying that he would come back, then he probably is going to come back. And I think it would be a short cameo if he does. It would be like a 5 or 10 minute thing where we see his face. Some kind of multiverse thing or something.
I gotta say, man, the multiverse is wearing thin on me. So I don't...
Oh, yeah.
I don't care about that at all. Don't do that.
And
I mean, I would prefer to see a what-if Iron Man movie where he never died and we get a, you know, a little bit older version of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
I would prefer to see the writing team of X-Men 97 be given the keys of the castle and let them do whatever they want and just give them money and get out of their way.
Well,
don't question it. Don't worry about it. Just let them do it.
Take one of them doesn't work there anymore.
Of all Marvel, all Marvel properties, and let them do what they want. I would be like, here's your checks. You get a direct deposit every 2 weeks. As long as we're making money off what you're doing, go nuts. If we get sued every once in a while, I'm fine with that. Have fun.
Yeah.
And like, because it's working.
You're not joining the people that are calling for Bo DeMeo to be rehired, are you?
No,
because we don't know what he did. So
we don't know what he did, and I am saying that however you created this, and I don't think that guy was the. I think the writing staff behind it was doing the real work.
Yeah, right.
That's probably young kids. Give those guys the respect they deserve. Pay them what they need, and let them be fun. And this is going out to everyone out there who has a lot of money, who wants to make something cool, like a video game, cartoons, comics, books. If you really want cool stuff, stop trying to figure out how ChatGPT can do it and just let nerds be nerds. Let them cook. Let them do what they want. And they will make amazing things.
Right.
Because the only thing stopping these kids from making amazing things is money. They don't have the money and resources to do it. And so if I was Disney, I would be going to every graphic design school, every like creative writing or literature program in the country. And I would look for the most creative, interesting kids out there and be like, how would you like to write a show? You know, like, how would you like to, and like, here's $200,000. What would you do with it? You know, instead of like, I don't know if we should, can we bring Robert Downey Jr. back? Like, oh, come on. We're done. And X-Men 97, I thought I was going to be done with this, but I'm not. X-Men 97 is showing what happens when you risk take. Good things come of it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm curious how DC's going to respond to X-Men 97. Like, what are they going to do? Have you heard anything from DC? What are they doing?
They're working on the Superman movie. You don't care about the Superman movie.
I just thought about the ending to the original Superman movie, the original Christopher Reeve Superman movie.
Yeah.
The emotional response when he finds out that Lois is dead and he pulls her out of the crack in the ground and he screams and flies into the sky.
Yeah.
That's an amazing 3 minutes of movie. I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah.
The whole movie's kind of garbage, but that last scene where he picks her up and he starts crying and screaming, like that is like... That's good stuff. I put that in my veins. That's nice. Anyway, I don't know why I mentioned that.
I don't think DC's going to respond to this. They've already had a pretty good go of cartoons, you know?
When?
There's been a ton of Batman animated cartoons. And
oh, yeah.
A lot of them have been pretty good.
About the best animated series ever been made is Batman animated series.
Right.
What? Oh, Batman the Animated Series. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But you know, Batman the Animated Series was
Mark Hamill as the Joker.
But you know that Batman the Animated Series was sort of a response to X-Men the Animated Series. So.
Yeah.
Dude, what if Disney brought back the Batman the Animated Series? Don't make me
Disney.
Don't make me hope.
Or don't DC.
Me, yeah, what did I say? Disney.
You said Disney.
What if DC did that though? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be so cool?
Yeah, I mean, they say they're all in. Like, you know, James Gunn has control of all of their.
Bring back Mark Hamill as the Joker.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Although the voice actor for Batman, I think he died. So
yeah, he died. Sadly. Yeah. All right, I think we're done. Unless you got anything else you want to say, Mike? Oh yeah, I got a question for you, Mike. How can listeners? Because we're on a run here, right? We got the good stuff.
That's right.
No one else has a podcast like this, do they?
Not that I know of.
No, this is the only podcast like this. This is the only podcast and the only YouTube channel that deals with X-Men 97. You can only get it here.
And you get like so much information. Like there's things that you're watching this show and you're like, what's going on here?
So much information.
You tell me you listen to the podcast and you find out the answer to those questions.
I would say that if you're a consistent listener to the podcast, you know more about comics than your average person.
I've learned so much about comics.
You haven't learned.
I'm actually kind of worried that I know too much about comics now at this point.
Did we do a quiz?
To serve my role on the podcast where I'm supposed to be asking questions about comics.
After we wrap X-Men 97, I'm going to do an X-Men quiz on your mic and see how you know some words.
Okay. That's a good idea. That'd be a good show.
Okay. Rate us, subscribe us. You can find us on
hit that episodes, share button,
Instagram, Mastodon, Patreon,
Threads.
I gotta work on the Patreon, Threads, YouTube. If you're on,
Got Patreon ideas. I've got Patreon ideas.
Oh, okay.
Keeping it on the download for now.
Send us your YouTube clips. Have fun. We love talking to you guys. We love you guys. You've been great. Keep it up. And I guess Mike, we'll see you next week, right?
Yeah, we'll see you next week.